Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Know this, my beloved brothers. Let everyone be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness that God requires. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that you have chosen to reveal yourself, and even in these verses before us this evening, we ask that you would speak to us. Give us ears that will hear, and not just receive sounds, but would take these words that you have spoken and internalize them and meditate on them day and night and seek how we can better please you and yield the wonderful fruit of righteousness. We thank you for giving us this scripture. Help us now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. The word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces to the division of soul and spirit. It exposes the thoughts and intents of our hearts. Every scripture of God is breathed out by God. It's God-breathed, so that the man of God or the person of God might be thoroughly equipped for every good work. It is given for doctrine, for reproof, for training in righteousness, for correction. The word of God is central to us. It's our life as Christians. It's central to the Bible. As in the very middle of the Bible, you have the book of Psalms. In the very middle there of the Bible, you have a chapter of the book of Psalms that is all about the word of God that we read from this evening. We are people of the book. God wrote a book is a very simple way of putting it. Now, he used many different authors over many different times with their own personalities. He didn't just dictate to them and they just copied it. No, he wrote a book, yes, and he used many different people in many different ways. But we do confess that God has revealed himself, and he's revealed himself in Scripture. That's a wonderful thing that we must never forget. It's what really we find our whole life founded on. God spoke, and he gave us a book. He gave us his word, and he continues to speak. He continues to speak not apart from Scripture, but through Scripture. He has promised that he will continue to send out his word, and it will not return void. Well, how does he do that? Well, we have the pages of Scripture, so that when you read Scripture, when you hear it read, it is God speaking. It is him communicating. We're not charismatics in the sense that we say God continues to speak like he gives revelations to people directly. But we are Christians, which means we confess that God continues to speak. He continues to reveal, but through Scripture, not apart from Scripture. Well, how then do we, as faithful Christians, how do we receive God's word? Or how should we receive God's word? That's what James is concerned with this evening. As we look at these verses 19 through 21, the context is the word of God. It's what he has just spoke about in verse 18. He's reminding us of the new birth, that of his own will, God brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. In the whole first chapter of James here, he's dealing with the Christian life that you're called to live. It's a life that is met with various many shades of color, of trials. And if you're going to live this life well, if you're going to survive as a Christian, then you need to remember that God is the one who brought you to this life. He's the one who gave you the new birth. He's the one who brought you from death to eternal life by his word of truth. And then on that heels of that statement, James then says, I want you all to be quick to hear. To hear what? To hear this word. Later on, we'll see next week, I want you not only to be hearers of the word, but doers of it as well. So the theme here, the context, deals with the word, scripture. Generally speaking, all of the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, including James's letter itself, specifically speaking, the gospel message of Jesus Christ. That is that message that the whole Bible points to, that the whole Bible proclaims from the beginning of Genesis to the end of Revelation, the message that is centered upon God sending his only Son at the fullness of time to redeem a people for himself, for his glory, through whom he will live. And so here is the question, how do we receive this wonderful word of God? James gives us there are two points I want us to consider in answering that question. The first is that we're called to hear it. So how are we to receive it? Well, by hearing. And then secondly, we'll consider how then can we hear the word of God, or how then should we hear it? So first, how do you receive the word of God? Well, it's by hearing. Martin Luther said that the organ of faith is the ear. And just as Paul said, I think it's Romans 10, how can anyone, come to Christ, in other words, without there being a preacher who is sent? A preacher who is sent to do what? Well, to preach. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So that's the idea here. James is speaking of hearing God's word as Christians. He's writing to Christians. He has just in verse 18 said that God brought us forth by the word of truth. And here he's referring to, look at verse 21, the implanted word. This word implanted means the word that finds itself naturally there. It's like naturally occurring. That is to say, when you are born again, God puts his word in your heart. He writes his law on your heart, is the promise of the new covenant. That it's like God puts within us the gospel itself. That's what he used to bring us from death to life, and it's what he uses to sustain us in our life now. So the implanted on your heart is indelibly marked with the gospel message that Jesus is Lord and Jesus is Savior and Jesus is Redeemer, and he's yours, and he's the one who has brought you to life. He's given you his own self as a sacrifice. The very message that the whole scripture points to, the gospel itself, is written on your heart. It's there in you naturally as a born-again believer. And he's saying that you have this word, and then all of the scriptures that point to it, how should you receive it? Well, you need to hear it. That's why he says in verse 19, know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear. Be quick to hear. If there's a new, the next Star Wars movie that comes out, when it does premiere, you'll see people flock to it. They'll be quick to run towards it, to hear it, to see it. I don't think it happens quite as much anymore with books, but perhaps a very much anticipated book is to be released. And what do you do if you really want that book? You immediately are quick to go and grab a hold of it. Well, as Christians, this should be our mindset to the Word of God. It's the Lord speaking to us. We ought to flock to it. We ought to run to it, more so than the premiere of some movie or the publishing of some book. We should be very ready to receive it. To be quick to hear means that we realize what it is. This is God speaking to us. That we appreciate it for what it is. That this is God speaking to us. And that we quickly search it out. Fill ourselves with it at all times. Remember, James is writing to people who are going through trial and who will go through trial. And remember, trial can be anything from riches and wealth and the easy life. That could be a trial. It tests your faith on whether you are truly dependent upon God or not. Or it can be a diagnosis of cancer. It could be the loss of a loved one. It could be your own impending death. This trial could be multifaceted or many different shades of color. And in the midst of the trial-laden Christian life, you must quickly flock to God's word. Be quick to hear. But what gets in the way of being quick to hear? There are a couple things here James mentions. One is our big mouths. Being quick to speak is oftentimes how we function. Being quick to anger is oftentimes how we function. So rather than hearing, sometimes we just open our mouth. Or if we are quiet, we're actually just waiting our turn to speak. My wife talked about a particular sign she saw one time that stuck in her mind. It said there's a difference, I don't know who said this, but there's a difference between listening and just waiting for your turn to speak. And that's true. Most of the times, even whenever we're just listening to someone, if we just are itching to input, you know, to respond, we just wait, because we're nice and we're good people, you know, and we let them actually finish their sentences. But then the second they stop, we're right there, speaking as quickly as we can. But being slow to speak here, that James enjoins upon us, is not being ready to interpret things ourselves. Not being ready to say, okay, I know what's going on here. Let me explain this trial that I'm facing. It's to be quick to hear is to turn to God's word and let his word interpret your circumstance and your life and whatever you're going through. To be quick to speak would to be immediately to define things yourself and to figure things out yourself. It would be to use the language of Proverbs 3, to trust in your own understanding rather than leaning on God's understanding. To seek to describe things rather than to submit yourself quietly to God's word. You know, there are some people who, if you are struggling and you open up to them, they'll just sit and listen graciously. And that's a wonderful practice. You should all do that. But then there are some people that will sit and listen, but they're kind of, you know, just waiting for the other person to finish so they can fix it. It's oftentimes guys, and that's what we want to do. We want to fix everything. So rather than listening just to listen, we immediately jump in with like, well, let me tell you why this is happening. Let me tell you how to fix it. Let me give you all the information. That's speaking. Oftentimes too much, and oftentimes it doesn't help. Rather, we ought to be slow to speak. That is, submit ourselves to God's word and let it interpret whatever we're going through. Even if it's silent on whatever we're going through, we must rest in that. The Lord is sovereign. He does know. He does care. Be quick to hear, be slow to speak, and slow to anger. Now, there is a righteous anger. Actually, Paul commands the Ephesians. He says, be angry and do not sin. But that's a tricky one because, at least for me, I know my own heart, and it's really difficult to have an actually righteous anger. It's hard to be angry and not let my ego or my own self get into that anger in some way, shape, or form. So being righteously angry is something that is possible, but most times our anger is probably self-centered and sinful. But regardless of what your anger is or my anger might be, regardless of whether it's truly, purely righteous or not, James has in mind here the anger of man. Look at verse 20. Be slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness that God requires, or does not produce the righteousness of God. This anger is, in other words, is something that does not lead to the fruit of sanctification, of righteousness, of pleasing God. Rather, it's an anger that prevents you from hearing, from listening to God's word. If anger does anything, it prevents us from listening. Someone who is fuming mad at you, even if you have the perfect, most logical explanation for what you've done, they will not listen because anger effectively shuts your ears. That's what James says, be slow to anger. You know, so whenever you expect your life to go this way, but it doesn't, and your faith is tested, you become angry. Angry at God, angry at others, angry at all those who kept you from going in that direction, rather than being quick to listen to God's word and resting in the Lord's care. Oftentimes we just boil, we simmer with anger, either at God or at others. The point is, anger keeps us from listening to the word of God. So how do you receive the word of God? Well, these first two verses, we read that you and I must hear it. Remember, there's a difference between just merely receiving sound waves and actually hearing. James has in mind actually hearing God's word, you know, not just listening and receiving, again, just the words itself, but understanding them. It's like when God tells Israel, he says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one." He's not telling them, just listen to my words coming from my mouth, or from Moses' mouth. He's saying, let it be driven deep in your heart, this truth, and let your whole life be lived out of this truth, that your God is one, that he is your God, he is your Lord. So that's what he has in mind here. Being quick to hear means truly listening. So we're to hear the word of God at all times. Now, before I move on to the second point on how to hear God's word, ways to do this, when I studied this passage and realized that it's in the context of the word of God, it immediately goes against really the way that I sort of naturally apply this text. You know, so I've given counsel to many people. I give counsel to my own self, whenever you're talking to that person, you need to be quick to listen, and slow to speak, and slow to anger. Because you know that how quickly they'll rile you up, and immediately you'll be angry and speak and get yourself in a pit. And so I thought, well, is that the right way to apply this text? It was talking about the word of God. And I think we can use it this way. I came across a commentator on this passage. His name is Alec Motier. So it's a great commentary on James. And he says this helpful observation that when we interact with other people, especially Christians, then it's sort of like a training ground. It's like a testing ground for how we interact with God himself. So when we're quick to listen to one another, as Christians, especially in the context of fellowship where we're encouraging one another with the word of God, rather than immediately getting mad at them or trying to speak over top of them, then we're actually showing what it is, or we're learning what it is to listen to God. In other words, your interactions with each other as Christians, where you are quick to listen to each other and slow to speak and slow to anger, it trains you for how you listen to God's word and to God himself. So maybe it's not that bad of an application. And whenever you talk to people, whenever you interact with one another, especially as Christians, be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. And it'll pattern how you receive God's word itself. Let's move on to the second point. How to receive God's word? Well, first we hear it. Well, that raises the question, then how do we hear God's word? And James is wonderful because he tells us the answer. He instructs us on how to receive and hear God's word. Verse 21, therefore, put away. That's the idea of taking off old, shabby, torn, soiled clothing. It says, put away all filthiness. The word for filthiness actually means shabby, torn, soiled. So put away all that is filthy and rotten and useless now, and put away all rampant wickedness. I don't think we really have to define what that means. It just means whatever is wicked and apart from God and contrary to his law and to his will. Put this all away like an old dirty garment that you will never use again, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. So there's three things we can see here on how to receive or how to hear God's word. Well, we do so with preparation first. With preparation, by putting away all filthiness and rampant wickedness. It means we, as the writer to the Hebrews said, we lay aside every weight and every sin that so easily entangles us. And then we run the race set before us. Like, if you're going to run any sort of race, you want to be agile. You want to dispose from yourself anything that will hold you down. And obviously, that could be sin, right? That would be sin. Sin would hold you down as you run the race of the Christian life. It's like running with a giant metal ball attached to your leg. You're not going to get anywhere. There are also other weights, which perhaps might not be sinful, but hinder you nonetheless from running the Christian life well. But here James is referring to the sinful aspect. Whatever is filthy, whatever is wicked, put it away as you prepare to listen to hear God's word. What does this look like? I think it looks like confession. You know your heart and you confess your sins to God. It looks like repentance. You turn from your sins. And we turn to God and with dependence. And that's what really, you know, it's kind of the process of preparing ourselves for God's word, or for really anything in the Christian life: confession, repentance. And, you know, if repentance is turning away from sin, it's also turning to something. It's turning to God himself with full dependence, saying, Lord, I need you. I need your word. I need you to speak. I need you to act. I need life from you. So to prepare for God's word, we do so by thinking on our sins, laying them before our Father, turning from them, and realizing our dependence and need of him. So examine yourself before worship. That's where you primarily hear the word of God. When I send out an email on Fridays, I say that, you know, pray the Lord would bless your preparation for worship. And that's a true prayer. I do pray, and I pray that you can pray it for me, that the Lord would bless my preparation for worship. But part of that preparation is in examining ourselves in light of Scripture, especially in light of the, I would say, as an encouragement to you all, especially in light of the revelation of God's will for that particular Sunday. Take that passage, read it, examine yourself in light of it, confess, repent, and come to the Lord dependent for his life-giving word. So ask God to humble you as you prepare. Which leads us to our second thing to note here. James says, is the way that we hear God's word, we do so with preparation and also with meekness. He says, therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word. This is the attitude of someone who knows that they need God's word above all else. That same commentator I mentioned, Alec Motier, he said, you know, meekness, when it's directed to another person, it's that quality whereby we control our strength. We don't exert our rights. You know, someone says something wrong just in passing, and there's something boiling up inside of you that you have to correct them, but it would be unkind at that moment, so you don't say anything. That's meekness. But when meekness is Godward, it's not asserting your own rights. I mean, you have ultimately no rights before God. You can't say to him, wait a second, let me correct you on this, or something like that. Meekness that is Godward, Motier says, is just putting your simple yes before him, so that you allow him to define your life as he sees fit. It's actually giving up of ourselves to God. It's faith. It's giving up ourselves to God and saying, I want you to direct and define and establish my life, and to do so by my word. That's meekness. Or as John Calvin said, meekness is a mind disposed to learn, realizing we need God's word and he is abundant in giving it, and it's a mind that is ready to receive it wholeheartedly. I worked with a guy, he called himself a faithful Catholic, but he never went to Mass, and never went to church or any church. And we asked him why, and he said, "Well, in the Catholic Church, when they read Scripture every Sunday, they go through the whole Bible in 3 years." He said, "So I've been there for more than 3 years, so I've got it. I heard the whole Bible. What else is there more to learn? You know, I don't need to go back." He said that sort of tongue-in-cheek. But that's not meekness, right? That's absolutely not meekness. It's the folly of thinking, I've got it all. I mean, I heard the whole Bible. I read it through all the way, so I'm good. I remember as a kid one time sitting in church, and my pastor was preaching, and I thought, I could do that. Just as a kid, I'm like, how hard can it be? I mean, I've heard him preach, you know, every Sunday for like 5 years now, and it seems pretty easy for him. I mean, I kind of know the Bible already, so I can do that. I can promise you that is not the way I feel now. I do that, but not without recognizing my great weakness. Meekness in receiving God's word is coming to it and saying, I need it. Absolutely. I'm dependent on it like breath, like food, like water. It is my life. And it's having that mind disposed to learn. Well, that leads us to the last thing we can note from verse 21 on how to receive or hear the word of God. And it is with expectation. Look what he says here. He says, receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. When James speaks of the saving of your soul here, he has in mind not your justification, which is once and for all already completed in Jesus Christ and his righteousness imputed to your account. You will never fall away from your justification, because once God has declared you are mine and you are righteous in my sight because of the work of my Son, it can never be wiped away. You are forever kept by him. It is a once and for all declaration that God will not go back on. But as you grow in the Christian life, you are being progressively sanctified. When you can think of it like this: you have been saved already, right? It is once and for all in your justification. You are currently being saved in your sanctification, being more and more conformed to the image of Christ. You will, in the future one day, be saved in your glorification, which is really the end of the sanctification process. It's where you're made perfect in holiness. Unless Christ comes back, you will receive that only through the means of death, because in death, you are then ushered into God's presence and made perfect in holiness, the Catechism says. If Christ comes back in that moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we will all be changed. That is, we will all be glorified and reach that perfect sanctification. But until you do, you're being saved. And the means through which God sanctifies you is the same means through which he brought you to life in the beginning. It's through the Word of God. That's why we should receive this Word of God with expectation, because God has promised that he will finish what he began in us. He's promised that our salvation, in its ultimate aspect, in its justification, sanctification, and glorification, it is sure, it will happen. Paul says in Romans 8 that we're predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. And he goes on to say, those whom he predestined, he also called. Those whom he called, he justified. Those whom he justified, he also glorified. Speaking of the future action of God glorifying us in past tense terms, because it's so certain, it will happen. And so as you come to receive God's word, you can know that his word will not return void, and it will not return void for your own soul. You might not know how it's working in you, how the Spirit takes it and puts it to use in your life, but it is. You might not see the fruit of it immediately. Sometimes you do. Sometimes you need a word from God and you need him to act in your life because you're at the end of your wits. You don't know how to act. You're totally at the bottom of the pit. And then you hear the word of God read or preached, or you just read it on your own. And immediately your heart is just full of joy at considering your Lord and your Savior and what he's done for you. But sometimes you know you need God's word and you receive it and you don't feel like anything's changed. You don't feel anything, but yet God's word is working. Perhaps it's over months or so that you realize, I have grown. The Lord has done a work through me and in me. And from my own experience, the times in which I'm most struggling, you could say, are the times in which I can look back on and see God has worked most fruitfully to his glory. So receive God's word with expectation, realizes the Lord delights to send it forth. The Lord sends out his word and it will not return void. Because his word comes to us not as another means, not as a means of saving ourselves. That is, it's not like our salvation is earned by our listening to God's word or anything like that. But the Lord graciously gives it to us. And his Spirit graciously takes it and puts it to work in our lives. So it's the Spirit who makes it effectual. It's the Spirit who works it in your heart. It's the Spirit who plants it, takes the seed of God's word and plants it deep down inside of you. And it's the Spirit who waters it. It's the Spirit who calls it to grow. It's the Spirit who brings you to life and then sustains your life as the Spirit brings you to Christ. And that's really the ultimate point here. I mean, what is the word of God but a channel through which we receive God himself in Jesus Christ, the capital W, Word of God? That's why Christ is called the Word, because he comes as the revelation of the Father and the one in whom we have the Father and the Spirit. So as we come to receive God's lowercase W word, the Bible, the Scriptures, ultimately we're coming to the uppercase, to Jesus Christ, to himself, who Jesus castigated the Pharisees. He said that they pay attention to the word of God. They search it diligently, thinking that they might have life. But they missed the point, because the word is to point them to himself, to him. Jesus says it's in him that there is eternal life. So we come to the scriptures expecting God to work, but also expecting that we would see and savor and enjoy and receive and grow in Jesus himself. How do we get Jesus? But through the means of the word that he's given to us, as the Spirit takes it and works it in our life, that we might grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ, become more like him, that we might produce the righteousness of God, the peaceable fruit of righteousness that leads to our sanctification, that is our sanctification. It's all given to us through this word. So how are you to receive God's word? Well, hear it. Be quick to hear it. Be slow to exert your own self and your own interpretation of things and your speech. Be slow to anger. Be quick to hear by preparation, by meekness, and with great expectation. This is the Lord's will for you. Next week, I will see another way that we interact with God's word. It's not only in hearing it, but it's in doing it, being doers of the word and not hearers only. But until then, until we look at that verse, may God work in us a delight as we hear his word. Amen.